Can you count me in?
We've been away for a while now. I think we're gonna make you smile now. Cause every time you hear our voice, I get the tingles in a silly place. It starts with the hose when they soak on my toes. Wherever you go, you always know. We'll make you smile if you stay for a while now. Listen to us, the last resort.
Podcast. I fucked it up a little bit there. We were trying to give Whitney the podcast, and I mean not the podcast, the light, the shine, and the limelight here of
Vice and Plies.
But I sang.
Yeah, you
couldn't help it.
You were too quirked up to stop.
Yeah, we're going one take wonder on them.
Quirked up white boy, yeah. Busting it down. There's no stupid time. Style. Well, you may hear. I'm hoping this sounds audio fidelity a lot better. I'm yeah. hoping that it doesn't sound like. The True. Whole time.
And I'm not going to edit it on my AirPods with noise canceling on anymore because I think that I could hear it a lot more clearly than anyone else could when I was
editing. Yeah. The tech has gone too far.
Gone too far in the future. We had people reach out and say they wanted that. Anyways, let's do a little introduction here. My name is Peyton.
I am Chris.
I'm Whitney.
And we have a special guest.
Ayo, I'm Rochelle.
Special guest Rochelle.
Special guest.
Special guest.
She asked for the count in.
We had to count her in. That was her intro.
Yeah, into... she counted us in.
Could you count me in?
Yeah. Couldn't you guys tell that was Rochelle?
Duh.
Well,
it's been a while.
I know. It's how are you? How are you all?
I'm so wonderful. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm so excited for this new episode.
I know. It's been a long time coming. Yeah, I can tell you're really excited. Also, I think we need to shout somebody out who reached out to us on Instagram. He's been a long time listener, first time DMer, Dustin.
Yeah, Dusty Fresh. Shout out to you.
Fresh. D Fresh.
We appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, we do. It made us go get better stuff.
It did.
I think we were all just like, you know what? We can't fix the hiss. Like, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah,
at least I was.
We bought something that was a little too intense for our podcasting and audio skills, so...
I hacked it on accident. Hacked the mainframe. It was just no big deal. Literally.
No big deal.
I accidentally hacked into the NSA website, like, purely accidentally, and that's what made the hiss happen, so...
Oh, okay, true.
My fault.
Well, now, hopefully it won't sound like a wind tunnel.
Yeah, true. That is the hope.
I listened to it in my car and I literally could not hear shit. Yeah. So like I first heard it on headphones and was like, that's not that bad.
Yeah,
and my car sounds
car.
Like I'm going
yeah.
150.
It's hard to hear any podcast in the car. Yeah. You turn it up so loud.
Oh yeah.
And then everybody
turn it up.
In the cars next to you just hear like just hear our voice be like, ah.
Shout out to Donnie.
That's not even Donnie's OC.
That's who I think of. So
yeah, me too. I was just telling Whitney that I'm not able to tell if that's like a good or bad noise. It sounds completely neutral to me.
That's the best part. He can use it when he's hyped or when he's mad.
I know. I can't.
If he does like a sad tone, then he's like, oh.
What's a happy tone?
So I usually use it like you're hyped.
Yeah, because
like,
to me those two are pretty.
Wait, so that's a hyped noise going just the shouldn't it be like I?
It could be.
Are
like
you
that.
British?
I. But you're saying hey,
let's go.
Aren't you? How would you spell it?
Like that.
You know, it depends on the face and the hands.
Yeah.
Like he swings his hands down like this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He daps you up every time.
How would you spell it?
A-Y-Y-E-Y.
No, hopefully you guys like ASMR.
Yeah, hopefully you guys like hearing two straight minutes of us going.
I hope it's so. I hope it's better.
You better get used to it.
They're
this
like,
is the
damn,
podcast from
so
now on.
Yeah, true.
Like
we're
gonna
get a whole like new niche audience. The I audience.
Dusty Fresh, I'm sorry. Please don't DM us and say that sounds too good now.
D Money.
Oh, Yeah, shout out to you though. That was really the point of that. So we appreciate the feedback.
And he's been listening since like the very beginning.
I know, he's
and
a real one.
Actually follows us on Instagram, which we can't say for a lot of you bitches. So give us a follow.
He don't follow me on Honda Classics of the Z though. So
oh, okay, so is he a true fan?
I mean, to be fair, I've had people try and follow me, and I just don't let them. However, Dusty Fresh, you try and follow me, I'll let you slide in.
Ooh. Oh. Dusty Fresh gets exclusive fan access.
That's essentially Patreon.
Yeah, he's in the VIP club.
That's the inner machinations of my mind.
I love how Dusty's like, yo, your audio sounds like shit. And everyone's like, thank you, Dusty.
I think we're just so psyched that a stranger is listening to us.
Yeah.
So literally, if you are a stranger, send us mean shit and we'll eat it up.
To be fair, mean though. I'm sensitive.
He wasn't mean.
No. He wasn't mean at all. He was like,
I love
nice
it. I just can't hear it at work because of the new audio.
Yeah.
And I really
yeah. Yep, that's fair. Like, and hopefully you can hear this at work. And I mean, hopefully your job doesn't suck bad enough you need to listen to this at work. But you know.
Yeah, I get it. You work in a fast paced environment. You need a little entertainment, and the fast paced environment kind of makes it hard to hear.
So. Yeah.
That's why you're at your last resort.
Podcast.
The last.
Yo,
resort.
Dusty, let us know if you need any references for a new job, though.
In Texas.
Oh, yeah, for real. We'll record it in a podcast, and you can just use that soundbite for any reference.
We'll just do an ad of him.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. So if anybody wants a reference, please dial in, and we will give you a reference
for $500.
$500.
We're actually happy to announce, though, with our new equipment, we can like call people in. So that'll be pretty sick. Maybe like we can do like a suggestion, like advice column.
Some interviews maybe.
Yeah. So like give us some ideas. What do you want to talk to us about? Call us in.
That would be sweet.
That'd be cool.
That'd be
cool. Yeah, sure. You can call in.
I call in while I'm here with you guys?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. You have to leave the room though.
You have to muffle your voice so we think it sounds like I'm so far away right now.
The witness protection program voice. She's just a shadow next to us.
This is not Rochelle. How do I get my boyfriend to love me?
He loves his friend Chris more.
Yeah.
Impossible. Word. Well, Chris, why don't you introduce us to your topic? It was mine, and then Whitney's, and now yours.
Yes, that's how our system is working.
Oh, wait. Was it mine, and then you... Was yours the last one?
Yes, Whitney did the last one.
Okay. Folklore. Oh, true.
Folklore.
If I did that, folklore. I think that one's actually getting, like, more listens because of all the shit that's, like, coming out against, like, the church and, like...
No.
I saw another documentary today about, like, it was, like, leaving Mormonism, and I was like, why did anyone try to make a documentary about me?
Like,
I can use a bag.
I just stop going? Like, it's not...
We're all just traumatized. It's fine.
Man. They should make a documentary about me, actually. Someone who's never in it, but somewhat
still
a part of it.
I went through the MTC, bro. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
You guys didn't even have to wear garments. Like, I got you there.
In to reveal your trauma.
Call in and describe yourself wearing garments.
Yeah. Let's just discuss trauma.
Religious trauma, especially.
Please cry when you do it. It's more authentic.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
You have to cry.
You're off the air.
This podcast just turns into something really heavy, so it's everyone's actual last resort.
Oh my God.
Trauma dumping.
Yo, this has been all part of the plan since the beginning.
Yeah. We could just be Dr. Phil.
Oh my God, we're the new Dr. Phils.
You're ugly, I hate you, give me $300.
Catch me outside.
Oh my God.
Oh, hell yeah.
Throw rocks through your window, you dumb whore.
All right, Chris, take it away.
Yes, I'm actually very excited about this topic. I've learned so much and some stuff even not about this topic. I have a couple of segments I'm excited about. So today's topic, I thought with Russia being in the news a lot recently.
What?
I know, what?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
What's Russia?
Yeah. So Whitney, Russia's a country.
I only know the Soviet Republic.
The Soviet Union.
I served the Soviet Union.
Yeah. So I thought I would do something within Russia, like some kind of conspiracy, because there's plenty. And I thought wilderness would be fun. We've been going camping a lot. And so I decided to do Dyatlov Pass.
Hey!
Dyatlov.
Dyatlov.
Dyatlov Pass.
Dyatlov Pass.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah.
That's going to be a reaction to anything.
He's going to be haunting a house someday.
The listeners never know if it's a sad oh or a happy oh because they can't see my face.
Yeah, they sound very sad.
They can't see you dropping your hands like this.
Roll my eyes back like it's pure joy.
Oh.
Ecstasy.
It makes you uncomfortable a tiny bit.
Yeah.
That one did. That one was good.
They just made the strongest eye contact. I didn't like that.
It was the strongest eye contact with the softest eye.
But kind of a glare.
A little bit. I said it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why.
All right. So I'm just going to go through the sources real quick to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
I've gotten, I read articles through Wikipedia. AllThatIsInteresting.com, very reputable.
Ooh, I like their articles.
Oh, really? So
I've used them, I think.
Okay, good. I thought you were giving me shit. Dude, don't look at my notes, bro. Jesus.
He's going to take it from you.
Sorry, bro. I got to pass this test, bro.
He's going to plagiarize me, dude.
He's just going to elbow Chris out of the way and read his story.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, I also got dialedlovepass.com, nationalgeographic.com, and history.co.uk.
Bro, who are these people? Don't even have skin in the game.
Bro, no skin in the game.
Fake news.
Fake news, exactly.
Are you guys ready?
Lamestream
media. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I almost pounded the table. That's my classic.
Yeah.
No pounding, Peyton.
Huh?
Oh? All right. So camping and backpacking with the pals is the best, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly. Peyton?
I don't like backpacking.
Okay.
Camping.
Becoming.
Yeah, he said camping and backpacking.
And or. Either.
Sorry.
You guys are shaming me.
Becoming.
I'd rather car camp than backpack, though.
100%. Not even.
Hiking's hard.
Oh,
when you carry all your shit, all your food.
I mean, that's true, but also just getting to a point like
where there's no one. Near you.
Yeah,
that's
the best. It's really
like easy. Getting to like a lake, like a secluded lake, that's like the best shit.
We love it.
I agree.
We love it.
And then you get to make shitty dinner, and it's the best thing in the world.
I know. It tastes so good.
Yeah, because you work.
And then, like, the hot chocolate's the best hot chocolate you've ever had.
You bring hot chocolate? That's too heavy.
Yeah,
for a camp?
Hot chocolate packets are too heavy?
I'm joking.
Oh, it's like.
Oh, I think it meant too heavy for your stomach.
Yeah.
Or cheesecake.
I
bring a whole apple pie with me.
I just make Cheesecake Factory cater my backpacking.
they send a drone and airdrop it.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Everything on the menu. It's just a helicopter at that point.
They airdrop the menu, and then you choose, and then they airdrop the food.
It's like that SpongeBob episode.
We're dropping out of the sky. We gotta drop our load. Magic conch.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay, sorry. One more thing about it. The helicopter. I saw a video today of a helicopter, and it was a cow getting airlifted.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cow on a string just
spinning.
Oh, my God.
It's like that lady.
Yeah,
that
getting rescued. That would be so awful.
Dude, so
the cow's
awful.
Just having
it's
the
so
most
funny.
Hellish experience.
I know, for real.
Like, we're rescuing you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah,
like, aren't you grateful?
Yeah.
Aren't you grateful, you bitch?
Thank the bovine gods.
All right, so since I got one line in, I'm just gonna start over.
Sorry.
All right, camping and backpacking with the pals is the best, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Becoming one with nature, sharing memories with the ones you love, and debauchery in the wilderness. Like, what can get better?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing's better than debauchery, I tell you.
Love it.
Well, you're wrong, you sons of bitches. It is a place of danger and fear. This is a story of a group of experienced friends going on a trip of a lifetime, only ending in tragedy and so much mystery about what actually happened to these people.
For you.
I mean, yeah. Peyton might already know.
No, I was saying it's dangerous for you.
Oh, I guess that's true. I'm not packing.
Different.
Literally.
The Dyatlov Pass incident was an event which consisted of 9 Russian hikers in the northern Ural Mountains between the 1st and 2nd of February in 1959, in uncertain circumstances. The experienced trekking group from the Ural Polytechnical Institute, led by Igor Dyatlov, were doing this trip to feel real adventure and go see things not many, if anyone, has seen. With the excitement of young travelers, they trekked on trying to seek their destination. They were hit with snowstorm after snowstorm with very little visibility. They ended up losing their sense of direction and ended up on the slope of a nearby mountain. They decided to set up camp for the night, hoping the snow will subside. Little did they know, this night would turn into a nightmare. Almost a month later, rescue parties were sent out to see if they can find and rescue them. They find their tent on this steep slope, only to see that the tent has been cut open from the inside, with many personal belongings, including shoes, still inside the tent. From the tent, they saw 8 to 9 sets of footprints, seemingly barefoot or with socks, leading to the nearby woods about a mile away. Mind you, the temperature at the time was around -13 to -22 degrees Fahrenheit. This is where they found the first two hikers, near a small campfire, under a cedar tree, in their underwear, frozen to death.
Oh.
God. They then found 3 more bodies found on the trail from the tree line to the camp, frozen like the 2 found before. Although strange that these people were in the situations they were in when they died, it was decided that they had died from hypothermia with no evidence of any external bodily harm besides what the cold can do. What was peculiar was that one of the bodies was a brown, kind of purplish color with gray foam coming from his cheek and gray liquid from his mouth. Also, the 2 hikers under the tree had their hands scraped away and the lower branches broken, making experts believe they had tried desperately to climb the tree from something or someone. They then had to wait 2 months to find the other 4 hikers. They were found buried deep in the snow in a ravine 75 meters from the cedar tree. Those bodies made the mystery even more deep, as they had some brutal injuries. One hiker was found in a similar state as the others, where hypothermia was the main cause of death. One hiker had significant skull damage. Sorry. had significant skull damage moments before his death. Another had major chest fractures similar to one from a car collision. And worst of all, the last hiker found was missing her tongue, eyes, parts of her lips, some facial tissue, as well as part of her skull. The rescue team declared that these hikers found died after the first group had died, given they were wearing some of the others' clothes. To grow the mystery even further, 2 sets of the clothes showed evidence of being radioactive. Right?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay, pause, question.
Yes.
How long had they been dead when they found the bodies? Do we know that?
So they think it happened either the 1st or 2nd of February, and they left to go find the first group at like the 25th or 26th of February. So it'd been like 3 weeks, because they were supposed to send a telegram once they finished their trek, and they just never got one. But it took 2 months after that to find the other 4 bodies because they were buried so deep in the snow.
So were the 2 groups of bodies, were they one big group?
So
2 separate groups.
So yeah, there were 3 sets of groups.
Oh.
So there were 2 that were
okay.
Under the tree.
Yeah.
There was like a fire there and they had the scraped hands with the branches.
Yeah.
There were 3 others that were in between the cedar tree and the camp.
Yeah.
So they believe that they had tried to go back to the camp and then got frozen. And then there were 3 others way further past the tree, they think died after that group.
Okay.
And they were like deep in a ravine. Soviet authorities didn't spend too much time trying to find the answers, saying it was a natural force that caused this or their own incompetence that did them in. Numerous theories have been put forward to account for the unexplained deaths, including animal attacks, hypothermia, avalanche, catabatic winds, infrasound-induced panic, military involvement, a Yeti, aliens, or some combination of these.
Yeti cooler killed all of them. God damn. God.
So with this brief intro, my dear friends here with me and listening in, what do you think happened?
I already told you, bro. Those Yeti coolers are heavy as fuck.
These the Yeti cooler?
God damn it.
I would say probably like people.
Ooh.
Or like a bear, something like that. Yeah, or skinwalkers.
Yeah, because you know the Navajo have a large presence in Siberia. So.
I mean, it's not like it couldn't happen. Well,
maybe it's like a different version, like a different culture's version of a skinwalker,
like a Yeti skinwalker.
Ooh, yeah, a Russian skinwalker.
Maybe skinwalker is just like a desert Yeti.
Desert Yeti. I like that.
Oh, desert. They just lose hair as they get further and further south. Like up their thick white fur in the Ural Mountains and then like black fur in Washington. And then they're just hairless.
I think we just thought of a name for a craft beer company.
Desert Yeti. That's good. It's got to be like a double IPA. Yeah, I was like hoppy as shit.
It's just one of the hop plants.
In a can.
In a can.
You have to chew it.
It's like a pickle.
Whole hops.
All right, Whitney, what's your theory?
I feel like the elements or an animal.
Mm-hmm.
The Avatar.
Just because I'm a skeptic.
Ooh, the skeptic.
I'm the skeptic of the group.
Yeah, I mean, those are all good ideas. And then I got this thought when I was writing this. And when I wrote this, I did not know Rochelle's going to be with us. So, Rochelle, you are a part of this question, too. Between the four of us, who would get eaten first if we were in this situation? Like, the four of us, who would eat each other first?
I'd probably be Pete.
Yeah.
I would eat you guys first?
Yeah.
No. I'm saying, who would we eat first? And then this is my reasoning. So, I put Whitney equals skinny, so I don't know if it's worth it to do it.
Also,
and,
like, the easiest to overpower.
Yeah, that's true. Easiest to overpower. But I said Peyton equals ass. And so...
Yeah, Peyton's got that dump
tastes
truck.
Tastes like ass or has a dump truck?
You have a dump truck that I could saute with some mushrooms and onions.
I thought that said Whitney equals stinky, Peyton equals ass.
that too.
That tracks.
Yeah, it does track.
Peyton's ass would be kind of good with like some butter.
And some barbecue sauce. Yeah. Like I'm saying, saute with some onions and mushrooms.
Yeah, how would you know? Roast.
Yeah, but rump.
Not that I've tried it before.
not personally a test.
All I'm saying here is y'all could try. Y'all could try. I'll solo y'all.
Hit
it's
him
over.
Up. Honda Classic.
Yeah, true.
I'm saying
send it over the mail.
You send three or four of y'all motherfuckers. I'll solo y'all. I'm not even scared, bro. I'm crazy like that.
Well, it would depend who died first, I feel like.
So you think it'd be that... What if you're all alive?
I don't think we'd have to kill each... I feel like we wouldn't resort to killing each other.
Oh, I would.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I guess I'm the first to go.
We've been stuck out here 20 minutes. Who's dying first?
I'm hungry.
Yeah. I can't even eat, like, mashed potatoes, though, to be fair. So, like,
true.
I'd be so... too scared to try human. Like, this looks a lot like Whitney's toes.
Like, does anyone have any barbecue sauce?
Straight up. I'm like, is this pressure cooked or what?
Yeah. Have these been smoked for 5 hours?
Oh, toast fuck. Stew?
Where's the hoisin sauce?
You guys got any ketchup?
I thought you guys would say me out, honestly.
No, I think you'd be the last one.
Really?
I think you'd survive in the wilderness the best.
I have the most hair.
Yeah, you're the most hair, and you're just like the most Viking-esque. I feel like if it was in the desert, I might beat you.
Okay.
I feel like Chris would provide the most nutrients, though.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you would decide I provide the most nutrients and then work against me and kill me.
I feel like Rochelle might eat the healthiest, though.
I mean, yes. I mean, yes.
Yeah, but you're bigger. More mass.
I've got more meat.
Yeah, I could wear your flesh for sure.
Plus, you could shave me and like make a quilt.
Yeah, and like with me, you'd just be scraping a bone. I think same with Shell.
I mean, same thing, yeah.
Hey, we both, you skinny ass too, bitch.
Okay, fight right now.
Yeah, fight.
The rest of the podcast. Here, yeah.
It's just Peyton and Chris the whole rest of the time.
Yeah.
Peyton and Chris are just fighting their jaw.
Yeah.
That's totally not like making out or anything like crazy.
We just hear slapping and we're like, they're like, oh, Whitney and Shell, quit fighting. It's Peyton and Chris.
Oh, they're clapping.
Yeah.
Oh, they got a studio audience.
Yeah. They must be getting really exciting. It's getting faster.
Oh, no.
Well, anyways, so now I'm going to go into more detail about each of these theories and we can decide how plausible these actually are.
Fuck yeah.
The first one I'm going to go over is the catabotic wind.
I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life.
I know. I'm about to drop some knowledge on you fools.
Break wind. Let's go.
Let's go. In 2019, a Swedish-Russian expedition was made to the site. And after investigations, they proposed that a violent catabotic wind was a plausible explanation for the incident. Catabotic winds are somewhat rare events and can be extremely violent. Catabotic wind, also called downslope wind or gravity wind, is wind that blows down a slope because of gravity. So yes, yeah, I know.
I like gravity wind.
I know gravity wind's fun. It occurs at night when the highlands radiate heat and are cooled. So it deals with like pressure. Hmm. Experts decided that this is what happened in a 1978 case at Anaris Mountain in Sweden, where 8 hikers were killed and 1 was severely injured in the aftermath of a catabolic wind. The topography of these locations were noted to be very similar, according to the expedition. A sudden catabolic wind would have made it impossible to remain in the tent, and the theory they went with was that the hikers covered the tent with snow to seek shelter behind the tree line. On top of the tent, there was also a flashlight left turned on, possibly left there intentionally, so the hikers could find their way back to the tent once the wind subsided. The expedition proposed that the group of hikers constructed snow shelters, one of which collapsed, leaving 4 of the hikers buried with the severe injuries found. Scale of 1 to 10, how plausible do you think that is?
5. 5?
Just down the middle?
7?
Yeah, I feel like a 7.
5's a little boring, I guess. I'd say 4.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, what gets me is that it seems it's a very rare occurrence.
Yeah.
So just the fact that they're caught in that.
Well, and why would the highlands be heating in February in Siberia?
Yeah.
Sun. But it was at night.
The sun.
Oh, the moon?
Yeah. I guess that was like the explanation I got. I don't know all the direct science behind how it works, but it is like pressure change, like quick pressure change.
I mean, it does make sense. It's just some of the stuff I feel like of that wouldn't. Of why would someone's skull be collapsed?
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, if the wind is just maybe throwing snow around, it could be. It could be. Yeah, I guess it
smacked their head against something.
Yeah, it completely depends on how
hard the wind was. Of, like, picking them up?
I mean, maybe it was pushed over. The ones that had the severe injuries were found in a ravine, so they could have been, like, pushed into the ravine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That one's pretty possible.
Mm-hmm. Or the wind and then an avalanche.
So, so you're thinking a combo. That's a great segue because the next one is avalanche.
I wait my.
This is what the original explanation was. This is what the Soviet Union just declared. They said avalanche and kind of moved on from it. So American skeptic author Benjamin Radford suggests an avalanche as most plausible. And this is what he said. Like, this is how he described it. The group woke up in a panic and cut their way out of the tent either because an avalanche had covered the entrance of the tent or because they were scared that an avalanche was imminent. They were poorly clothed because they had been sleeping and ran to the safety of the nearby woods where trees would help slow oncoming snow. In the darkness of night, they got separated into 2 or 3 groups. One group made a fire, hence the burned hands, and I think it's also like the scraped hands that they found because I didn't see anything about burned hands. While the others tried to return to the tent to recover their clothing since the danger had passed. But it was too cold and they all froze to death before they could locate their tent in the darkness. At some point, some of the clothes may have been recovered or swapped from the dead, but at any rate, the group of 4 whose bodies was most severely damaged were caught in an avalanche and buried under 13 feet of snow, more than enough to account for the compelling natural force the medical examiner described. And then one of the hikers' tongue was likely removed by scavengers or like some animal. They decided. Animals, like birds, can do that, right? Like they eat eyes and tongues.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was it like cut out? Do you know? Or was it like eaten?
Ripped out.
Yeah.
I mean, all it said was that it was missing their eyes and tongue and parts of their lips.
Probably. I would assume birds.
That's
what I
was thinking too.
Birds generally eat soft tissue first.
Yeah. So like they go for the eyes.
Tongue.
Yeah.
All the delicious parts besides the ass. God damn, can't blame them.
Yeah. Right, so that seems pretty plausible, yeah. I would say.
I feel like I would believe that more than the
winds. More than the winds?
Put this at an 8.
8, okay, there we go.
Yeah, too.
Okay, well.
8's the consensus?
8's the consensus. But we'll see what you think after this. This is all the contradictory evidence against the avalanche. Yep. So the
10 out of 10.
The location of the incident did not have any obvious signs of an avalanche having taken place. An avalanche would have left certain patterns and debris distributed over a wide area. The bodies found within a month of the event were covered with a very shallow layer of snow, and had there been an avalanche of sufficient strength to sweep to sweep away the second party, those bodies would have been swept away as well. This would have caused more serious and different injuries in the process and would have damaged the tree line. Over 100 expeditions to the region had been held since the incident, and none of them ever reported conditions that might create an avalanche. A study of the area using up-to-date terrain-related physics revealed that the location was entirely unlikely for such an avalanche to have occurred. The dangerous conditions found in another nearby area, which had significantly steeper slopes and cornices, were observed in April and May when the snowfalls of winter were melting. During February, when the incident occurred, there was no such conditions. An analysis of the terrain and the slope showed that even if there could have been a very specific avalanche that found its way into the area, its path would have gone past the tent. Dyatlov was an experienced skier as much as another hiker who was studying for his master's certificate in ski instruction and mountain hiking. Neither of these two men would have been likely to camp anywhere in the path of the potential avalanche. And footprint patterns leading away from the tent were inconsistent with someone, let alone a group of 9 people, running in panic from either real or imagined danger. All of the footprints leading away from the tent and towards the woods were consistent with individuals who were walking at a normal pace.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. I know.
Okay, so what you're telling me is we gotta go skiing there.
So what you're telling me is...
Yeah, let's go hit the slopes at Doubtful Pass. What you're
telling me is controlling the weather. It was Harp.
It was Harp.
What you're telling me is we don't need a beacon.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
That a little bit of I know about this is how they say the Soviet Union didn't look that much into it. Yet the Soviet Union did quarantine the area. They didn't allow private investigators in.
Well, I bet they didn't.
Right after. I know they didn't. They said there were armed guards and stuff. And the military was the one doing the investigation.
Yeah.
And they said they didn't look that much into it. How do they know that it wasn't consistent with people sprinting?
Yeah.
That's sort of one thing to me of like, I don't think the Soviet Union, especially if they said this is a natural force, but avalanches aren't all that scary anyway, so they just walked away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I don't know, I guess there is evidence when there is an avalanche that you can tell there's been an avalanche, but mm-hmm. I mean, it had been a month.
Yeah.
And there could have been complete new snowfall. I mean, the damage to the trees would make sense, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be much of an avalanche at all to kill a person.
That's true. But also, like, do you think, because they were pretty spread out. Like I said, the tree line was about a mile from their camp.
Uh-huh.
And there were people, like, from the tent all the way to the ravine, like, spread out. So do you think the avalanche would have taken all of them that whole way?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Let's hear these other theories.
I also wonder if they like ate something like some sort of mushrooms or something that made them go insane.
We're actually going to go into that a little bit later.
Okay.
God cool. damn it.
God damn it. Okay. So changing that 8 or is it still an 8? What do you guys think?
Oh, I'd put an avalanche at 9 for me.
Oh, so after the contradictory evidence, you're even more sure.
I would say like more like a 6.
Ooh, okay.
I think an avalanche mixed.
A 7?
I think an avalanche mixed with a few other things.
That's why I raised it.
Oh, yeah. So Whitney's a 7?
Yeah.
I think no matter what, it's definitely a combination of multiple things.
Yeah, I don't think it was just like one avalanche ass blasted them.
No.
I think it was.
If it's a low slope area, they're not going to have more than one avalanche, probably.
Yeah.
Unless, like, low slope Low slopes don't get avalanches unless they're really triggered, which is usually by like a skier or something.
Yeah. Triggered.
Take the Abbey course with me.
With me.
With me. Okay, so this one's interesting. This one freaks me out. This theory is the infrasound theory. Mm. Okay. This hypothesis popularized by Donnie Eicher, his 2013 book Dead Mountain. Is that wind going around the mountain and slope created a Karman vortex street. The Karman vortex street in fluid dynamics is a repeating pattern of swirling vortices caused by a process known as vortex shedding, which is responsible for the unsteady separation of flow of a fluid around blunt bodies, which can produce infrasound capable of inducing panic attacks in humans. According to the theory, the infrasound generated by the wind as it passed over the top of the mountain was responsible for causing physical discomfort and mental distress in the hikers. Iker claims that because of their panic, the hikers were driven to leave the tent by whatever means necessary and ran down the slope. By the time they were further down the hill, they would have been out of the infrasound's path and would have regained their composure, but in the darkness would have been unable to return to their shelter. The traumatic injuries suffered by three of the victims were the result of their stumbling over the edge of the ravine in the darkness and landing on the rocks at the bottom. So what do you think? How plausible is that one?
I know infrasound's a real thing, and a lot of people have pointed it as the reason that when you're in the forest alone, that that's like one of the reasons you're so on edge, is because the forest pretty much, if there's thick enough pine foliage, that there's almost always infrasound in the forest, especially at night when it gets cooler. But to the idea that these experienced people who have lived in that area and been through the mountains and skied and camped and mountaineered their whole life, I have a hard time believing that all of them suddenly were like, oh, we're going to fucking die. Claw out the tent.
That is the thing. There's like nine of them. So it's hard to be like, yeah. But also that frightens me. Just like hearing a sound that you can't even hear and like it just making you feel so uncomfortable that you have a panic attack.
You know, horror movies used infrasound. Like
really?
A lot of horror movies use
that makes
right
sense.
Before jump scares.
Oh.
They play infrasound for like 10 seconds. So your hairs, like you'll feel your hairs stand on edge.
Stand up,
But you can't actually hear it.
I think that's probably why I can sense a jump scare coming.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
It's supposed to, and they'll put it like, I know Hereditary used like a lot of infrasound in times that like wasn't supposed to be scary at all, just so you feel really unnerved throughout the whole movie.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
They did a good job, because he's quite unnerving.
Yeah,
it's very unnerving.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I can see this being pretty likely, honestly, considering that they all were like randomly dispersed.
But the
one thing that makes me unsure is that they were in groups dispersed rather than like all separate.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you said some of them were like a mile from the tree line. They would be getting a lot less infrasound. Like that was the tent that got clawed out of, was a mile from the tree line.
Yes. Yeah. So like the infrasound, once they got to the tree line, they'd probably be out of it. I think it was just probably the angle of the slope and just the way the wind was going is what was creating it.
I thought they were saying the ones that were in the trees got it worse.
Oh, no. They're saying once they got to the trees, they were out, and that's when they gained composure, and then that's when they tried to go back, and then it was too dark, and it was too cold, and then they just, that's how.
Okay, well, huh. All right.
Yeah.
How often does infrasound occur naturally?
I think it's probably very specific situations. It's probably not super often, but if you say in the wilderness.
Yeah, I think like in pine forests specifically, the infrasound's actually a pretty common thing, but to the point to make people have full-blown panic attacks more than just like the feeling of I'm being watched is pretty low.
Yeah.
I just think people can sort of pick up on like, no, I'm actually okay.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would feel like I'd be going crazy if just like for like a panic attack out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just because of the sound.
And all of them to have that?
That's
what I know.
There's nine of them that are experienced mountaineers. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that one's probably like a six for me.
A six?
I'd probably like a 3.5.
Oh my God, the lowest one. Okay. There we go. I've got to mention, all of them were like early 20s. Like the oldest one was like 38, but he was way older. The rest were like 22 to like 25.
Diatlov. That's like,
I know.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like literally, they're our age.
But they were all like
so sad.
They were all in good shape and stuff though.
Oh yeah, they were experienced like hikers and mountaineers. Like they would have probably been training for this forever. And they even said like they didn't bring any alcohol or any cigarettes or and like no drugs, and so like they were really serious about it.
And their
camping trip is that.
I know, right? What?
No debauchery.
No cigarettes.
No debauchery. I know. That's why you go in the wilderness.
The trek they went on was pretty intense. Other than
super intense.
Like I think this was like one of the mystery of it is this is a pretty lax section for them.
Well, they got so off course that I think they got themselves into a treacherous area.
Mm.
Like they end up on like a separate mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so they got lost?
So like on their way, they're going to like this certain point. They got lost in the snowstorm and ended up in this completely different area. Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing like a ski hike trip across the Urals.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, this one gets a little political.
A little quirky.
A little quirky. These are military tests theories. In one speculation, the campsite fell within the path of a Soviet parachute mine exercise. This theory alleges that the hikers, woken by loud explosions, fled the tent in a shoeless panic and found themselves unable to return back to the tent. After some members froze to death attempting to endure the storm, for the others only to be fatally injured by parachute mine concussions. There are actually recordings, records of parachute mines being tested by the Soviet military in the area around the time the hikers were there. And something we know about the Soviet military or Soviet government is that they don't like telling everyone the complete truth when they fuck up. Parachute mines detonate while still in the air rather than upon striking the surface and produce signature injuries similar to those experienced by the hikers. Heavy internal damage with relatively little external trauma. The theory coincides with reported sightings of glowing orange orbs floating or falling in the sky within the general vicinity of the hikers and allegedly photographed by them, potentially military aircraft or descending parachute mines.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Keith McCloskey, who has researched the incident for many years and has appeared in several TV documentaries on the subject, traveled to Dyatlov Pass in 2015. At the Dyatlov Pass, he noted, the deputy head of the investigative department of the Sverdlovsk Oblast Prosecution Office gave an interview in 2015 to former Kemerovo prosecutor and stated that he was arranging another trip to the past to fully investigate the strange deaths of the last four bodies when Deputy Prosecutor General arrived from Moscow and ordered the case shut down.
Hmm.
He also stated in an interview that the head of the Sverdlovsk Prosecutor's Office was present at the first postmortems in the morgue and spent 3 days there, something regarded as highly unusual and the only time in his experience it has happened.
Hmm.
So how plausible do you think that is?
I would say unlikely.
Yeah.
I'd say more than infrasound.
Yeah.
I'd say so too.
Yeah.
I still feel like avalanche or the wind thing probably mm-hmm. would be more.
But could it be a combo of the two, that a mine went off and caused an avalanche?
That would be a combo of all fucking three.
Right. Yeah. What?
The above. Everything.
That's an interesting theory, that the mine is what caused the avalanche, because that makes sense if they were so experienced that they wouldn't have put themselves in a path of an avalanche.
Yeah, it could have caused one in a place mm-hmm. that normally wouldn't have one.
Yeah.
And it would also explain the people freaking out and like explosions, and they all would mm-hmm. for sure have concussions, probably be deaf.
Yeah.
Something like that, potential vision damage. Also, it would explain why the Soviet military is so like... Because mm-hmm. if it was just like hikers that died in the mountains, I really don't think the Soviet military would be involved.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't police investigation. It was military. Soviet military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying, so on the list, that one is above sound?
For me.
For you.
Me too.
But then Rochelle's set.
Yeah, I feel like that makes more sense. If the explosion caused an avalanche, mm-hmm. it was a combo.
That makes sense too. That is an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
It also could be that the explosions were in the distance and they got up to leave their tent to be like, what the fuck? And then an avalanche happened and only some of them slept through it. But the others were further to the tree line, thinking that maybe there was some sort of attack. Because this was during the Cold War, right?
This was in 1959, so yeah.
Yeah, very much in the Cold War. They could have thought that they were being attacked by NATO.
Yeah, they could have.
So were they all sleeping, like were all their camps right next to each other?
They could have been. I've only seen pictures of one tent. They could have all been in one tent.
And the tent had like a chimney and shit.
Spring bar, yeah.
The tent had like a big chimney and shit in it. I know is one of the theories behind it is that.
The stove theory?
Yeah, there's a stove. Mm-hmm. It was a wood-fired stove and got mm-hmm. damaged and was like suffocating them. And so they
And that's why out. They got out, yeah.
But,
so yeah, that's a theory as well.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
I actually don't go into that one, so I'm glad you brought that one up.
Spoiler, they hotboxed.
they hotboxed the tent.
They
had
fucking bait.
Yeah. They had like LSD-laced joints.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not the fentanyl.
So there are two other kind of like military test theories. A similar theory alleges the testing of radiological weapons and is based partly on the discovery of radioactivity on some of the clothing as well as the descriptions of the bodies by relatives as having orange skin and gray hair. So yeah, like I guess like during their funerals, a lot of them had orange skin, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that there was like yellow foam coming from one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I read that where it was like, yeah, one guy, he had like gray foam coming from his cheek and then a gray liquid coming from his mouth. But I mean, I don't know. The body does weird things after it dies. It could have just been that's something. My thing. But also, and also it was so cold.
Bile.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it could. But yeah, yeah, it is strange. This one got pretty quickly like shut down. I would say that radioactive dispersal would have affected all, mm-hmm. not just some of them. Mm-hmm. And the equipment and the skin and hair discoloration can be explained by a natural process of mummification after 3 months of exposure to the cold and wind.
Which definitely makes sense, because you ever seen like the mummies they find, mummies in air quotes, of they find frozen in the tundra, they're always bright yellow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And, like, their skin is really tight on their bones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild stuff.
They all got jaundice.
And lastly, we have amateur aviation historian Andriy Shepelev considers that the group could die due to a photo flash bomb dropped by the U.S. spy plane. And a declassified U.S. document confirms that in the first half of 1959, there was such a secret mission near that area. According to Shepelev, the U.S. plane could drop a photo flash bomb, which, due to the mountainous area, exploded closer to the ground than expected. The explosion could frighten the tourists, so they left the tent and froze to death. Some of the tourists could have been injured directly by the explosion. Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that one.
There's no way the U.S. government could be involved.
Nope. U.S. government ain't never killed nobody.
No, nobody.
They only got everyone's best interest at heart.
Yes, they do.
Let's go, Brandon. Hey.
Oh, God.
Don't start that on me.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're going to get a group now.
Please. No.
I think
we don't want that group as our fans.
No, we don't.
I'm sorry.
I definitely don't. I also think that...
Libs only.
Libs. No, I want publicans, too. I want all of them.
By lib, I mean libertarian.
Yeah.
Payne just wants that check.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As long as you have money, I don't care what you believe. I just feel like the Soviets, if there was any evidence of American involvement, they'd be like, it was the Americans! It was the Americans! Kill them!
Especially in this time, because they would want any reason to, you know... have anything against America.
Like a scapegoat.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. If there is evidence of a photo flash bomb, which I think there would be if it exploded that close to the ground, that I just can't imagine they wouldn't be like, what the fuck? The Americans have been here. Sorry.
Apologizing now. No, I like that. You should be doing more Russian accents during
this. What the fuck?
We just have one Russian listener like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, one Russian listener like, that doesn't even fucking sound like me.
He sounds like exactly like you. Like, no fucking way.
That was like Swedish. No fucking
I guess that's true. I can't really do accents. So this theory, this next one's pretty interesting. It doesn't explain the whole thing, but I think it's just some like a factor to think of. It's called paradoxical undressing. International Science Times posited that the hikers' deaths were caused by hypothermia, which can induce a behavior known as paradoxical undressing, in which hypothermic subjects remove their clothes in response to perceived feelings of burning warmth.
Oh.
It is undisputed that 6 of the 9 hikers died of hypothermia. However, others in the group appear to have acquired additional clothing from those who had already died, which suggests that they were of sound enough mind to try to add layers.
Go ahead.
Honestly, that also explains, because I remember before I knew anything about this, all I knew was that they broke out of the tent because for some reason, and like they didn't have good clothing and like they were unprepared. And so it makes sense that like once someone died, they took the clothes off of that person to put on themselves. Yeah. And so I think the lack, like the first two bodies that were found were just in their underwear, which I thought was like, oh, that's crazy. But I mean, it was probably just taken for his friends to use.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
That's what makes sense to me.
But also, if they, like, why were they so experienced? Why would they be unprepared for the snow?
Well, I mean, that's true. So it was at nighttime. And so that's why people think like they could have been sleeping and needed to leave the tent right then. And so that's like they weren't wearing shoes. A lot of them, like the footprints were just either socks, like maybe one shoe or just barefoot.
Like they were in a sleeping bag.
Yes. Yeah. And just like, yeah, we're in their pajamas.
Yeah. And that's sort of what I believe is that something, avalanche, prompted them to get out of their tent and ran. Some died in the avalanche. Some weren't prepared. And then I think others who, because I've heard of this, of hypothermia, a lot of people immediately start taking off their clothes. Mm-hmm. Like search and rescue says that you have to warm. Like restrain people after they have the experience of hypothermia from like a lake. Because they'll like freak out and try and take their clothes off. But that makes sense. And then it would also make sense that like some of the more experienced people there would know not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd layered on more clothes of the people who took them off, sort of thing.
Yeah. Man, stupid bodies, like being so cold, thinking you're hot.
I mean, think about like, when you put your bare hand in snow, how it burns.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
Wasn't it the people who died in the ravine that had the extra clothes on?
Yep, okay. Yep. Yeah, so it's theorized that they lived longer than the other five.
And
yeah.
they were like a mile from their tent?
So they were... Yeah, like around a mile from the tent. Okay. They were a bit further from the tree where they found the first two people. So it's like they had the tent, and then on the way to the tree, had three people that were buried in snow, had the tree with the two people, and then further on the ravine with the people that had like the trauma.
That's pretty far away.
I know, it is pretty far away. And to like get to that point, like barefoot, like that's crazy.
Dude, that would hurt so
bad. Oh, I know.
They could have just like, yeah, it could have just been dark and they could have just fallen off.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it was definitely dark. And that's what you think, like the, they had the flashlight on top of the tent to try to get back there. But the three people going back just couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those were like the big ones, the big theories. I've got some other smaller ones.
Yeah.
These get a bit eclectic.
That's what we like.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we got Donnie Icar.
Did someone say Don?
Don, I.
He better actually listen to this episode.
I know, goddamn it.
He's gonna be forced to listen while I edit.
No. He has to
put this AirPod in.
You have to stick him in a room and make him.
Yeah,
sit
he has
down
to listen on his own device so we get one more like play.
Right? Yes,
yeah, we do.
Gotta get
he has
that
to listen
check.
To the very end for the retention.
Yep, we gotta get that coin.
I know you're playing FIFA, but you need to listen.
Yo, he can listen while playing FIFA.
Yeah,
this is a great FIFA playing.
Nah, it's too intense, content. Bro. You can be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Catabatic wins. What the fuck?
Okay, so yeah, Donnie Icar, who investigated and made a documentary about the incident, evaluated several other theories. One theory is that they were attacked by the Mansai or other local tribesmen. This was their home, so like this is like a local tribe that was living actually fairly close to where their tent was. So this is like the reasoning behind it. This was their home, so they knew the terrain well and considered it their hunting grounds. They used black magic because their sacred mountain had been desecrated by the hikers. There was even a woman who said there was a Mansai man that confessed it to her and said, so this is what she said, he said, tourists looted our holy place. When shamans found out about it, they called for hunters to track them down. When the members of the Dyat Lov group went to bed, shamans went to the tent and bewitched the hikers. After some time, they were all dead. If they did us wrong, we answered with evil.
God damn, that's some bars.
I know. What do you guys think?
I mean, there's our skinwalker theory. That's mm-hmm, like pretty yeah, much how the skinwalkers
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they like could the curse Mansai them with an avalanche.
It's what?
The Mansai.
The Manson family.
Oh, Manson family. Yeah.
This is like they cursed them with an avalanche and then cursed them with insanity to run into the forest, into the ravine, and then they died.
It's all black magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole world is.
So this one's actually very far-fetched. The local tribesmen were known to be very peaceful, and there was no track evidence of anyone approaching the tent.
Yeah.
They were very friendly with the Russians, offering food and housing accommodation when they would pass through. And I believe this theory is more of the stereotype of like the brutal natives using worldly magic.
Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't have fucking tracks of these shaman and shit coming in there.
Yeah.
They just need a scapegoat.
Yep, it's a scapegoat. especially in that time, they're like any native person was like, oh my God, voodoo and black magic.
The funny thing is, I bet it wasn't even Russians that made up that theory. It was probably Americans.
Probably, yeah. Just pushing our own ideas onto it.
Yeah, the Russians don't care about the natives. The Americans, on the other hand.
Yeah, yep.
Really don't care for the natives.
Yeah. So this next theory, Rochelle, or kind of did a little prologue to, a shroom trip gone bad. Magic mushrooms were common in the area, and there are theories that the group took mushrooms, which turned into a bad trip. This would explain the erratic behavior from them. No mushrooms were found with them, and it's unlikely that they all would have taken mushrooms to lead to the events that occurred. So, I mean, it was a brief thing of saying, like, it could have happened.
But it didn't.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I feel like if 9 people take mushrooms, not all of them are going to have a bad trip.
Yeah.
And even if, I don't think all 9 of them would have taken mushrooms. Yeah. I feel like there have been a couple that didn't. Yeah, yeah, that someone wouldn't have done it.
They knew that back then. To have a trip sitter.
Don't worry, yeah. I'm going to be a trip sitter this evening. I got some trippy visuals for you later. Yeah. And some I've got snacks.
Yeah.
I got some ponytails to hold back your hair when your tummy be hurting.
One of them could have had a really, really, really bad trip and scared all of them.
Oh, yeah. True.
And only one of them took mushrooms and the rest of them were sober.
Yeah. Contact high.
It's like the Alexander and the very bad no good day. Like the very bad no good trip. All right, so researching this, I actually found some. This is has nothing to do with really anything, but I thought it was interesting and kind of funny. So I did learn something interesting about mushrooms. So now I've created a new segment. It's called Mushroom Mania with New Mania.
Hey. Oh.
The fly agaric mushroom are very toxic, but they become less lethal when dried out. Conveniently, they grow most commonly under pine trees because their spores travel exclusively on pine seeds. So shamans that grow them would often hang them on lower branches of the pine they were growing under to dry out before taking them back to the village. As an alternative, he would put them in a sock and hang them over his fire to dry. Pretty interesting, right? Well, it gets crazier.
Thank goodness.
Another way to remove the fatal toxins from the shrooms was to feed them to reindeer, who would only get high from them.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And then pee, with their digestive systems having filtered out most of the toxins, making their urine safe for humans to drink and get a safer high that way. I know. Reindeers happen to love fly agarics and eat them whenever they can. So a good supply of magic pee was usually ready and waiting all winter.
Oh, let's go.
In fact, the reindeer like fly agarics so much that they would eat any snow where a human who had drank shroom-laded urine had relieved themselves, and thus the circle would continue.
Yes.
So
kind of quirky.
A human, so reindeer eats the shroom peas. Human eats the snow that the reindeer peed on.
These get straight urine.
Yeah, they
drink the
make
urine.
Them pee into it.
Pee into the snow. Reindeer eats that snow.
The reindeer. I thought the human came and ate the snow that another human had peed in. I'm like,
No. The reindeer loves the mushrooms so much that they seek it out as much as they can.
Yo, do you guys want to do reindeer piss this weekend?
Yo. Yeah, let's go in the woods and drink some reindeer piss, everyone.
I'm a caribou piss guy.
Yeah, more of an elk piss guy myself.
Like, wait, you guys are getting high? That's why you do it?
Oh, man. So this concludes Mushroom Mania with New Mania. Thank you for listening.
Woo.
Thank you.
We can cut the podcast
here.
Bye.
So, some more quick ones. They were attacked. So another theory, they were attacked and chased by animal wildlife, maybe some kind of mountain lion or bear.
I was kind of thinking like maybe like a cougar.
Yeah, could have been a cougar of some kind.
Not a mountain lion, though.
Cougar exclusive.
My mom thinks they're two separate animals and she insists on it greatly. It's just like not even an argument. She's like, no, they are.
They're different.
They're different. They're and pumas.
Yeah.
They're all different.
Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Yep.
It's the same. There's very little to this theory. There were no animal tracks, and the group would not have abandoned the relative security of the tent. I guess it depends on the animal.
What if it was hawks?
Hawks.
A coordinated eagle attack.
It was
the giant eagles from Lord of the Rings.
Shit.
Just picking them up. Yeah.
Thunderbirds.
Yep.
Thunderbirds made the catabatic wind. mm-hmm. and then ate their eyes and tongues.
But wasn't the eagle from Lord of the Rings like a savior?
Yeah.
You don't know. They might have been
bad. Yeah, maybe he's not.
Yeah. Bad move. Yeah. Maybe. Climate change has changed everything.
God, have you seen this economy?
Yeah. Being a savior in this economy.
Maybe the eagles were just American and they were like, fucking Soviets.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Goddamn Cold War.
Yeah. Our goddamn freedoms.
I mean, we're eagles. They were bald eagles. I mean,
yeah.
We got our state rights.
State rights kill Ruskies.
Oh, man. Another theory. So this one is a wind theory, but a little different, a little change. It was a high wind blew a member away, and the others attempted to rescue the person.
That's what Whitney said.
I know that sounded like my voice was getting farther away.
I hope so, yeah. To dispute this, a large experienced group would not have behaved like that. And wind strong enough to blow away one person with such force would have blown away the tent.
Yeah.
And probably multiple people. Yeah.
Just yep. One guy gets lifted away. They're like, oh, fuck. That's like,
Gerald, no.
I told you not to wear the wingsuit.
He's wearing parachute pants.
Yeah. No.
I just want to be a flying squirrel.
Yeah. You know my dream. So another theory, this one's a little spicy, was that an argument possibly related to a romantic encounter that left some of them only partially clothed led to a violent dispute. If this is true, this is like Shakespearean level of triangles and tensions.
Orgy got weird.
Orgy got weird.
Too much eye contact.
Yeah, right, right,
someone
right.
Touched tips.
Yeah, someone touched tips.
Shocking, all of it.
Yeah, right. Well, I like to imagine like just like someone's making out in the corner and someone else is like, like, you bitch, and then like it just like spirals from
sex
there
fight
with everybody. Not my spring bar.
Yeah.
It's a Christian spring bar.
Not my spring bar.
It's the one we used at girls' camp.
This is an LDS spring bar.
Yeah, it's been dedicated.
So,
it needs to be released before we can do that.
Just Mormon things.
Just Mormon things. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Chris, go sit in the corner. Then we'll make out.
So with this theory, Icar states that it's highly implausible. By all indications, the group was largely harmonious, and sexual tension was confined to platonic flirtation and crushes. There were no drugs present, and the only alcohol was a small flask of medicinal alcohol found intact at the scene. The group
Stiffs.
Had...
Okay.
What is medicinal alcohol? I guess, like, I think
just to clean, like, wounds.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The group had even sworn off cigarettes for the expedition.
No.
Furthermore, a fight could not have led to the massive injuries the bodies had suffered.
Yo, no, fight with me, bro. You might find out different. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, so things are getting even spicier now. This next one was that it was a UFO. That
yep, 10 out of 10. I believe it.
Here we go.
Done.
In 1990, the prosecutor Ivanov, who had retired, published an article in which he claimed that while compiling his 1959 report, he'd been pressured not to include his views on what happened. The article titled The Enigma of the Fireballs said that the hikers had been killed by heat rays or balls of fire associated with UFOs. In his original examination of the scene, Ivanov had found trees with unusual burn marks, which confirmed that some kind of heat ray or powerful force whose nature is completely unknown to us, at least. The last photograph is one... The last photograph in one of the hikers' cameras showed flares and streaks of light against a black background. And this is what the picture is. So this is what they think. So this was like the last photo taken. Mm-hmm. And they think this is evidence of a UFO or fireballs coming in.
Yeah, because it's dark. It's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
It's sleepy time.
Couldn't it just be a picture of like... a campfire?
I think it'd be a campfire, or it could even just be snow, like falling.
Reflecting, yeah. Or
maybe
the moon.
Maybe a headlamp, someone's headlamp.
Yeah.
Like the moon, a flashlight.
Yeah, it's pretty artsy. That's all
it is pretty artsy. And it was the last photo that was taken.
Accidental camera shot?
Like flares?
Well, it's not like, I don't know, when I go to take photos on, like if I bring my camera on a camping trip, I'm not taking photos the entire time. So like the last photo could have been like taken while I was doing something hours
true.
Ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and back then, I doubt they had technology like to figure out when the photo was taken.
Mm-hmm. And they also didn't know, back then, it wasn't like they could immediately print or see their photo.
No.
I think it may have either been accidental or not focused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do see a lot of math going on.
Yeah. One of those photos. This one's got a diagram that came with the picture. Yeah.
Someone has invested a lot of time in this.
Oh, absolutely. look how long this article is, too. Like it goes really in depth to a bunch of different theories.
Just based off this one picture?
They could go on to other ones.
It's a camera lens.
But yeah. Yeah, but I could go really in depth on that. Yeah. So all that said, I think it's very plausible. I think those heat rays and it was balls of fire that took them out.
Right. They wrote the balls song about it. I mean,
the ring of fire.
None of the bodies were like, it's hot enough to kill them, but not hurt them on the outside.
To like burn their skin. That's true.
Yeah. It's not like scorch their clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I feel like
I know a lot of people so pointed evidence. Fingers at like the radioactive thing on their clothes to UFOs.
Yeah, also that I can't explain. But also in Russia, there was like radioactivity quite everywhere.
Well, they're probably testing their nukes.
There's, I think, an explanation. I have a small segment at the end of this I'd like to go over.
He does.
Oh, everybody got a segment today, except for me.
Yeah, fuck you.
I ain't get the memo. I want to tell me.
I can come up with one real quick.
Yeah, me and Cher, do some acapella. I got my ticket for the long.
Get the cups.
Michelle, get the cups.
Bring it back.
Okay, yes, and the Yeti theory.
10 out of 10, 11 out of 10. Let's go, let's go,
let's go. Let's go.
I forgot we hadn't got to this yet.
I know.
I didn't even need to.
So when the bodies of the hikers were eventually recovered by a search party, they were found scattered over a large area in states of partial undress as though they had fled their tents in the night in a panic. Perhaps, some speculate, they were running from someone or something.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's got a name, goddammit.
In the middle of the night, they hear noises of an ungodly creature outside. They know they had to run. Cutting themselves out of their tent with no time to get dressed, they sprint away, with a large creature following close behind them. The creature starts taking them out one by one, knocking them unconscious to lay in their freezing bed of snow and ice.
Jesus.
The creature only stops to eat eyeballs and a tongue of a few of the people.
And drags them out of their tent.
Birdman!
But the rush of the chase was taking over, and it needed to get them all. Dyatlov found himself alone, only able to see a few feet around him at all times. He could hear noises all around him, branches breaking, low, deep snarls from what seems like a wolf from your nightmares.
God.
Dyatlov was lost, with nowhere to go. Things get incredibly silent. When out of nowhere, a giant white ape man grabs him in the white in the white darkness, that was the storm, which ultimately ended his life. Spooky, right?
I feel like I was listening to like erotica.
Also sounds far-fetched because I made all of that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did they get this
Diablo
account?
Yeah. One by one.
Yeah. So yeah.
Eat them eyeballs, girl. That's cool.
Yeah. I couldn't find like any actual reports of a Yeti, and I made up the whole story. There's no evidence that there was a Yeti, and the people that have been pushing this theory are like the conspiracy theory type, trying to sensationalize the tragic deaths of these young people.
It's Cain.
It's Cain.
Yeah, he's Bigfoot.
Yeah, Cain is Bigfoot.
I like that. Yeah. I like that little bit though, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you write that whole thing?
I did write that whole thing.
Put him in the writing.
Yeah, that was like Mary Shelley right there. Yeah. Right?
I know. I think my favorite line was I liked the giant white ape man grabs him into the white darkness.
Yeah.
That was the storm.
I also like the the eyeballs and tongue, but the rush of the chase was taking over and it needed to get them all. Like, he's like, ugh, tapping his arm, hankering for it.
Yep.
He's fiending.
Mm-hmm. So now that you know some of the most popular theories around this event, what do you think caused this horrible, terrifying situation to come to fruition?
You're telling me they don't know what happened?
But we'll get into that. Yeah. I just want to hear your theory first. Like you've heard it all. What combination? What it could be something I didn't even talk about.
I think that
Why are you talking?
I was going to say something stupid, but I couldn't think of anything dumb enough to say. So I just almost was just going to say my real opinion in that voice. I like the bombs causing an avalanche.
I think that one's my theory as well. Oh, yeah. I think the fact that the government's involved in it makes it spicier, and also
they're involved in everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they would totally cover it up if they did in fact cause that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why else would they cover it up?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I also like the hypothermia because it explains why some of them were undressed why they ran so erratically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm pretty sure even in hypothermia, like it, you get delusional.
Yes.
And yeah, like you're not thinking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's my conclusion. Recently, people have believed to have figured out what happened. Russia opened a new investigation into the incident in 2019, and its conclusions were presented in July of 2020, that an avalanche had led to the deaths. Survivors of the avalanche had been forced to suddenly leave their camp in low visibility conditions with inadequate clothing and had died of hypothermia. Andrei Kurikov, deputy head of the regional prosecutor's office, said it was a heroic struggle. There was no panic, but they had no chance to save themselves under the circumstances. A study led by scientists from EPFL and ETH Zurich, published in 2021, suggested that the type of avalanche known as a slab avalanche could explain some of the injuries. And then I say, refer to Peyton for quirky commentary.
Read the other part.
I was talking to Peyton about this, and I was like, okay, you can have a segment in the end. And he's like, and not Whitney. And so in all caps, it says not Whitney. Right.
So I purposely didn't get a memo. Yeah. Fuck Wait, y'all.
20 minutes before recording.
I do want to say this. It for some reason, it specifically says that they were not in a panic.
I know.
And it's like, how do you know?
I know. Yeah.
Like, were you there?
I would be in a panic. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'll probably be like, oh, God. God
I feel like being in a panic explains a lot of what happened.
I think they were absolutely in a panic. I think that part of the thing is wrong. And also, Whitney, I would have gotten your opinion is Peyton knew some things that I didn't even know.
Yes, he do. He knew about every damn topic.
He does. If it involves Disney, Disney production, Peyton knows about it.
Yeah,
he's a Disney fan.
Yeah, I'm a Disney guy. You can hear it in my voice.
Yeah, childless guy, loves to go to Disneyland. God. All breaks, he gets
all of them should go to prison.
You can't take him to trivia.
No.
He too good.
OP.
Well, anyways, I mean, we did say refer to Peyton, so...
Jesus Christ. Hey.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. It was an avalanche. I'm just going to say it, I think. There was... The reason he says Disney production is there was this Swiss scientist who watched the movie Frozen and was so impressed with the snow technology from it, that how the snow seemed so dynamic and realistic. And they won awards for it and all this stuff, and the engine for it still being used in other movies and other projects. But he was so impressed that he went to them and said, I want to use your snow model to make models for avalanches, because the normal threshold for an avalanche is 30 degrees, but using studies using this, and they also used like General Motors crash statistics from the 70s of like the average American car to SUV between then of how much force it could put with going pretty slow. And it was shown that like certain kind of snow and slabs, like you said, of avalanches could be moved at 15 degrees to 30, anywhere in between. And his was pretty much proving using this snow model that katabatic winds, like you said, downhill wind, could have pushed, even though it was like 17 degrees, not 30, could have easily pushed a slab of snow enough to kill a person. It would have been like, I think they said like 20 miles an hour even.
Well, yeah, because they said that the person that had the chest injury was like a car collision, like as much as that. So if it's going 20 miles an hour and it's like a slab, that's going to break some bones.
And that's what it explained, is that all of their injuries, like the person who had a damaged skull didn't kill them, but they made it far enough and bled to death. was that all of them were laying down and got hit by this slab and were injured in some way. It was also that the radiation was that several of the people there worked at some point in...
Chernobyl.
No, similar to Chernobyl, though, actually. Nuclear reactor. Mm-hmm. And that being in the area at all, you had clothes that would have been radioactive. So any clothes you had ever worn would stay radioactive for within your lifetime at minimum.
Yeah.
And so that they had potentially taken these guys' clothes, or one of them had died with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most of the bodies were identified of who is who, too.
I mean, from the pictures I saw and like the way they described it, they were able to figure out who was who.
Okay.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, that would just explain the radioactivity part. And it wasn't like, I think reports I've read of it make it out to be like a lethal amount of radioactivity, but it wasn't. Oh. It was like a minor.
Yeah, I think it was just like on their clothing.
It was just like a Geiger counter could pick it up.
Would that still fuck with you? Like, is that taking time off your life?
I don't know. I assume so, but I don't think much. Like, it's,
I feel like working there, probably, but not mm-hmm. the clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like the clothes being near other people probably were. Fuck, what do I know?
Are you a nuclear scientist, Whitney?
I'm a nuclear scientist.
It would also explain how the people that, like, four of them would have survived, because they would have, the other people would have taken the impact of the slab, and the other people made it through the ravine to try and escape wind, and the ravine would have collapsed in on them, and that's why there would have been so much.
They were buried, like, 13 feet of snow.
Uh-huh, and a full-size avalanche is, like, way more power. I think I read a statistic on, like, the kinetic energy transfer would be more than like 1,000 car crashes.
Man.
Of just like completely splinters bones, knocks down pine trees, collapses the whole body. And so, like they said, someone said that their head was collapsed with such a force, it couldn't have been an avalanche, but it definitely could have been a fucking avalanche moving a rock at their head.
Yeah, true.
I think it was the combination of those two things. So the katabatic winds and two avalanches.
Mm.
So what about the people who, like, tried to climb the tree?
They were trying to get above the avalanche?
Yeah, you try and get out of the avalanche.
But weren't those the people that didn't have clothes on?
They did not have clothes on.
And it would make sense because an avalanche would have half buried. Because you see the pictures of the tent, it looks mostly buried and, like, kind of undug. It would make sense that they had to cut their way out of the tent and that it was buried and they couldn't get their shit.
Yeah, maybe they were, like, sleeping in their undies.
Yeah, because...
Well, I think that's what it was.
Because they had a stove inside their tent.
Yeah.
So they were probably warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people tried to make a campfire, died, because they had no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also explain, like, if they tried to climb a tree, maybe they could have climbed to get a different vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was at night, that wouldn't make sense either. But
tried to climb to get away from the avalanche, like you said.
Yep, the avalanche, or from the cold, like the snow on their feet, or lots of different reasons. But, I mean, what other reason would there be to climb a tree? I don't think that they would climb it unless there's a Yeti, which, I mean, is still the number one theory.
So it's still number one, yeah.
There's a Yeti cooler coming after them. Like, those are $600. Get away from me.
The one that's like the coffin size.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, I can fit in there.
Oh my God, I can't afford that. Get away from me.
Yeah, like, I saw plenty of pictures as well. And so, like, yeah, the tent was pretty buried. And you could see the pictures of the people. It's pretty horrific.
They look like mummies. They look
they're mummified, and they are like completely like
stiff,
frozen. Like and like their facial expressions are the same. It's like
pretty. Yeah, haunting. They look terrified.
Like
Stranger Things when.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen the new season yet.
Okay, never mind. I'm gonna cut that.
Like Stranger Things when things get stranger.
Oh, shit. God damn it! I say spoiled, it now. I don't even spoiled. Care.
Avalanches also, they say, are like being caught in concrete, that it's like anything deeper than like a foot and a half of compacted snow a human couldn't get out of.
Oh man,
really?
That's so scary. Why you gotta bring like a shovel and shit, because you're gonna save your friends if you're in
a 1,000%. You need anyone listening, if you're going into the mountains at all in the winter and hiking, skiing, snowmobiling, you need a beacon, you need a shovel, and if you're snowmobiling, you should have the airbags always. Yeah. It's very, very serious. I just don't think people take it seriously enough, and people think it's always going to happen to someone else.
Yeah.
You'll never, if it happens, you're not going to escape it.
And
there's
if you're
no way.
Be playing in like this sketchy backcountry, you should get an education on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, if you're doing backcountry skiing or snowmobiling, you should go take a course. Worth the money in it. I mean, there are a lot of free courses. I know like some of the ski resorts offer free classes on it, so. check that out if you're in Utah, but I'm sure Colorado, Washington, whatever, same thing.
Dustin out there in Texas, go get Abby certified.
Go get Abby certified. Yeah. D money.
You never know. D money, it could happen.
Yeah. Come out here to Utah. We'll show you how things go on a snot.
Yeah. Right.
Brown bright.
Yeah, shit, brother, here in June. It's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you, Peyton, for that insight.
You're welcome.
For my epilogue, I didn't, so like, I mean, Peyton pretty much confirmed it, I guess.
Fuck you, buddy.
But I'll say it like I wrote it earlier. Even after this official report from this investigation, there is much mystery around this incident. If we can learn anything from this, it is to be the utmost prepared when doing treacherous journeys like this. And to take in the time you have with your friends and family when you have it, because you never know when tragedy can strike.
Wow. Aww, that is a powerful message.
Yeah, I love you guys so much.
I have an idea.
You're
to spend good time together, we should go on a skiing / hiking trip.
We should. In Russia.
Yeah. In Russia.
How about we just go Donner Pass instead?
That's yes. Nice. Oh.
Donner Pass, next episode, it's getting darker.
We're just going to reenact it.
Oh. I mean, we already talked about who's getting eaten first.
That's true. Now we can test it, yeah.
I think Sean and I are about making out alive.
They making out alive?
I'm going to go punch down a tree like Minecraft.
Let's go LARP.
Let's go.
Yeah, you should go LARP Donner's Pass.
We just have to like pretend to eat each other. No, I ate you. You have to pretend your arm's gone.
No, you didn't. Yeah, you only ate my right hand.
You didn't get it. You missed.
It's like Dungeons & Dragons where we have like someone writes the story.
Oh, yeah.
29 side dice.
Oh, man. I lost my arm to the cold element.
And then we actually have to eat the other person's arm.
Yeah, that'd be kind of sick.
And twisted.
That sounds quirked up.
I've always been fascinated by this subject, though. Like, I've thought the Outlaw Pass is very... I was kind of sad when that guy pretty... definitively solved it.
Yeah, because there are so many factors to it that make it an interesting situation.
I really wanted to believe it was aliens of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, those orbs, Peyton.
The orbs.
There's the evidence of the orbs.
I mean, they were pretty close to Skinwalker Ranch. They were like 14,000 miles away.
Yeah, not too bad.
That checks out.
That's nothing for a Skinwalker.
Those dogs all burned.
Across
so,
the ocean.
Yeah, well, they can swim.
They can swim.
It's a skinwalker of Russia. We already defined it.
Yeah. Skinwalker.
Oh, man. I forgot to show you guys. There was a second photo, and this was taken on the same camera, and they think this is what the evidence for the Yeti is.
Yes.
So this is the evidence.
That is not the real fucking picture. There's no way.
No, they are. They're, like, I mean... people are saying that's just
he's wearing clothes. Yeah. You can see like his scarf. Yeah.
That's a Yeti, bro.
Oh, that's and his buddy.
Wouldn't the Yeti, if he had white fur, still be standout white?
No.
Yeah,
like,
true.
I get
yeah,
it's black and white, but it's not like it's thermal.
Yeah, that's like a Bigfoot color.
Yeah. So, man, there's some poorly adapted Yetis over there, man. Come on. Yeah.
Is there any way to like link that to the Spotify?
Well, we can post it on Instagram.
Post on IG.
Oh
yeah. We can have we'll have the globe, the glowing orb picture, and the Yeti picture, so you can decide for yourself, listener.
We gotta have the glowing orb with the diagram, though. No explanation on what the diagram means. No, we don't know.
No, yeah, but the diagram definitely needs to be there.
I'm gonna go start making random articles and just throw on fucking diagrams. Just be like, do you see here? Oh no, point two, and then an arrow to three, like. Yeah. Holy shit. If this doesn't prove it, I don't know what does.
It makes me think of the red tape jokes, you know, or the red string. Yeah. They're like some crazy
jokes. Oh, yeah. The yarn.
Connects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's all I got for you guys.
Well, that was beautiful.
Thanks, Chris.
I love it.
Yeah. Thanks for being patient with me.
Thanks for being patient with us, dear listeners.
Thank you to that hiker gang for dying so we could talk about it on the podcast.
I know.
One of them actually did survive, but it was because he got sick before they went.
Yes, yeah. So he didn't go.
He left like 2 days before.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
I know, which is crazy.
He got FOMO.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that guy's like reading in his mind. He's like, aliens? No, I'm out. I'm not going. Yetis?
No.
Maybe. Ever?
Are they sick, though?
Are we clapping Yeti cheeks?
Possibly.
Okay, well, I'd be going. I'm still down.
Like, shit, they all died, but like, Yeti cheeks.
Yeti cheeks.
God damn it. Word. Well, thank you, dear listeners, and thank you, dear Christopher.
Yeah, and thanks, Shel, for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It was a pure joy. pure ecstasy.
She's going to ride this high for the rest of her life.
She's never washing this hand again.
The hand that's holding the mic.
Yeah. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Good night, Albany.
I think Rochelle has to say one from Canada.
Good night, Toronto.
Hey.
Good night, Kansas City.
Good night, Mesquite.
Oh.